From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Lessons from Joshua Sending Spies to Jericho. In Chapter 2, we find the record of Joshua sending two spies to scout out the city of Jericho. The Lord had promised the victory already, so why did Joshua send the spies? As Dr. Cairns answers that question, he sets forth the importance and influence of special witness to the people of God. These spies were ordinary men, well known to the children of Israel, and their testimony provided a point of contact with God's great purpose. As the battle of Jericho loomed before them, the people were naturally apprehensive, and the report of the spies gave them much confidence. In addition to meeting the people's deep-seated need, Joshua also established sane ways of assuring the people of the will of God, a matter which is of vital concern to every believer. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly, but first he takes a few minutes to give a biblical answer to a vexing question. Where is the world headed?
Sometimes we hear someone jokingly say, "Stop the world, I want to get off." But behind the humor lies a disturbing thought. Everywhere people are concerned. Where are we headed for? What's happening in the country? What's happening in the world? Where is all this leading? Daniel the prophet had the same concern when, having received his great prophetic visions, he wondered, what shall the end of these things be? Now, the Bible not only asks the question, the Bible also gives the answer. I'm not today going to go into a course on prophecy. I'm not going to deal with what the Bible says about various great events toward the end of the age. That's for another occasion. But the Bible does say, and this is where all things are headed, that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Bible is unequivocal about this. The world is headed for D-Day, D for destiny. It is headed for a meeting with God, its judge. It is headed toward that day when God will judge the world, not as men judge it, not as human judges judge it, not according to the fallacies and the illogicalities of human thinking, but according to his own absolute and perfect righteousness. God will judge the world in righteousness, and he will judge it by Jesus Christ. That is, for me, an amazing, or should I say an alarming statement when I consider sinners who have heard about Christ, they've read about Christ, yet they dismiss him, they despise him, they reject him, or if they do anything better, they simply pay lip service to him. They get on with the real business of life. But one day, and very soon, they're going to be judged by him in righteousness by Jesus Christ. How do I know that? God has given assurance of it because he raised Christ from the dead. Let's be clear about this. The world is headed for judgment. You're headed for judgment. We must all stand before the judge. After death, the judgment. That's what the Bible says. Are you ready to stand before God? You may have religion, but you know when sorrow hits, when trouble comes, when conscience pricks, your religion can't stand up to that scrutiny. Will it stand up to the judgment of God? Are you ready to stand before God? Would you be ready if he called you into eternity right now, at a moment's notice? Would you now be ready to meet your God? The only way to be ready to meet God is to be in Christ. You know, when there's a fire blazing, a forest fire, and say homes are in danger, one way of seeking to secure them is to burn a huge swath of land with all that's in it. And then, hopefully, the fire will stop, because the fire doesn't burn where it has already burned. Now, I tell you, the wrath of God has already met Christ. He has borne it on Calvary. You get to where the fire has burned, you get into Christ, and you'll find that you'll find justification and acceptance with God, and you will be ready to meet your judge.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts. We want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly Let the Bible Speak magazine. In the next issue, Dr. Michael Barrett, president of Geneva Reformed Seminary, presents a series of articles in observance of the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version of the Bible. Also, there'll be a mission focus on the country of Bulgaria, as well as Any Day Soon by Jill Saunders, drawing vital lessons from a young Christian girl's battle with cancer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
When we face some great challenge, the prior experience of God's people is a wonderful source of strength and encouragement. That was the value of the spies to Israel, and that's the value of the experience of other people for us. You remember the words of the old hymn, taken slightly out of context in that it was more of an evangelistic hymn, but the truth is still there. It's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Now, every Christian knows, for instance, I must stand for God. Every Christian knows that. Whether in the business, or in the world, or in the home, I must stand for God. Everything about my life should reflect that. My church affiliation should reflect my stand for God. The way I do my job should reflect my stand for God. The way I rule my life should reflect my stand for God. The way I run my home should reflect my stand for God. My dealing with people in every area of life must be an expression of my stand for God. Every Christian knows that. If you need to be convinced of that by some argument, I doubt that you're saved. I don't think that anybody can have the light of life within them, can have the witness of the Spirit of God within them, and not know my duty is to stand for God. And yet, sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes we are bombarded with every sort of opposition, and sometimes we find within us an enemy right inside the heart, a betrayer, a Judas, something that would not stand for God but would rather throw open the gates to the enemy. Sometimes it's difficult. Now, knowing what we ought to do is one thing. Very often, however, the Lord will come and give us an encouragement from others just like ourselves, just as weak, because they're flesh and blood. Though they may have progressed further spiritually, yet just as weak, because they're only flesh and blood. And he'll use their experience and their testimony to strengthen us as we stand for God. How many times, for instance, and you'll have known this in your own life, how many times have Christians been strengthened by listening to the stories of the faithful martyrs of the faith? I have told you some of these illustrations, especially in our Reformation Month services, again and again. I remember as a young boy growing up and hearing the stories of the two Margarets who were willing to be drowned in Scotland rather than give up their faith. One of them just a girl in her mid-teens, or mid to late teens. When you hear that, you wonder, could I do that? But it gives you perspective in life. It shows you the grace of God to ordinary people to take their stand for Jesus Christ. You take one thing that I think worries many Christians, and they find it hard to tally their experience with the Scripture. They read in the Scripture, for instance, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." They read, as we read last week from Hebrews chapter 2, that the Lord Jesus Christ took part of our flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Christians read that. And yet, when they look in their own heart, honesty compels them to say that death sends a chill of fear down their spine. So how do you deal with those things? Many Christians deal with it by pretending that they have a victorious confidence that they don't have. Many other Christians sink down into despair, feeling that they must be something sub-Christian, because real Christians wouldn't feel this way. And obviously, both of those things are wrong. The Word of God is true. But notice what David said. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." When David would have the victory was when he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We need to learn that you don't get grace to die when what you need is grace to live. And you don't get grace to live when what you need is grace to die. God metes out his grace to his people according to where they are and what their need is. But so many Christians want today to be living in this wonderful victory over death when they're not living in victory over life. It's grace to live we need at the moment. And when we come to die, his promise is he will give us grace to do that just as triumphantly. But many Christians worry about that, Can I really do that? Or will I mar my testimony? Or will I bring dishonor to the Lord? I've often told you about one of my old elders in the church in Ballymoney. One of my dearest friends there. Cochrane Hutchison. When I think of Cochrane Hutchison, I think of a man who was afflicted by great bouts of depression because of a nervousness of disposition. He had had physical illness, and this had also contributed greatly to just a debilitated nervous system in many ways. And Cochrane at times would feel great depression. He would have to fight this. And he fought it by being in the Word of God constantly every time I would go to visit him. And I did that a lot because he was one of the old folk whom I liked to keep up with. And I would always find him with the Bible open and the portions of Scripture he'd been going through that day. And he would spend great time before the Lord. That was the only answer for a man whose natural disposition was frail and certainly given to fear and nervousness. But when he came to die, there was no depression. There was no nervousness. There was no fear. As I stood at his bed, talked to him for one last time, I think I was the last one to get the slightest movement from his lips or one word from him. As I stood there, I had a testimony that I have never forgotten, that victory does not depend on strength and character and willpower and ability. Strong nerves and will doesn't depend on those things. It depends on the grace of God, who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When I looked at Cochrane Hutchison, and I have to confess many a time, that was a question that I had to face would come into my mind. How will you die? How will you die? How will you die? And the old devil would say, maybe you'll make a liar of everything you've ever said. You'll contradict every stand you've ever taken. And you'll feel God at the end. I used to wonder, how do I know? How do I know? Well, I know from what the Bible says. But I must say that my faith was greatly strengthened as I stood by the bed of my dying friend and I saw this is what the Lord can do even for those weak in themselves. So these are the encouragements that the testimonies of others bring to us. The kind of encouragement that the spies brought to the people of Israel in their day. As I say, it's the Lord's way of meeting a deep sense of personal need that lurks within us all. Now, there's a second thing that Joshua did in using the two spies, and that is that he established what I'll call seeing ways to assure the people of the leading or of the will of God. I must say I've debated with myself quite long as to whether I should mention this at all this morning, just because it is a subject so vast. And yet I have included it because I think that it's something upon which God's people tie themselves in knots, and they bring their lives into such total bondage. And they have listened to such mystical nonsense on the one hand and such rationalistic nonsense on the other hand about this whole subject of the leading of the Lord or of the will of God. By sending out the spies, as I studied that situation, I believe Joshua did establish seeing ways of assuring the people of the leading of the Lord. Now, follow me carefully here. The Lord, or should I say, Joshua told the people, the Lord has spoken to me. The Lord has given me a knowledge of His will. Now, can I say right away, Joshua was a man inspired. This is an inspired book. And yet, He takes certain steps that must say to every man, especially every minister, when he steps before the people to say, I believe God has spoken and this is the leading of the Lord, that minister should be very, very careful. Indeed, every Christian should be very, very careful in implicating the name of God in his own feelings as to what the will of God really is. And especially when you start leading other people according to your understanding of the will of God, you need to be more than careful. As I say, Joshua was an inspired man, and even he took steps to make sure that the people had an objective way of being assured that he was indeed leading them according to God's will.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.